Welcome to Today's Woman. I'm Dana Clark, along with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk, Today's Woman, about women's health and fertility, and provides a community for women to help one another. Sponsored by the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health, which supports women. On today's show, we'll talk with certified health coach Tracy Fountain about the importance of making informed food choices and developing sound eating habits in support of March being National Nutritional Month. That and more coming up next on Today's Woman on WJR. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes you brighter. What's that even lighter? Doesn't mean I'm lonely. You're listening to Today's Woman with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk, sponsored by the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. Tonight, in just a few moments, we'll be talking with certified health coach Tracy Fountain about the importance of making informed food choices and developing sound eating habits in support of March being National Nutrition Month. We'll also talk about the role that nutrition can play on fertility health and famous women in our history in honor of Women's History Month. If you'd like more info on fertility health and our show or our sponsor, it's Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. Visit MIFertility.com or call 586-576-0431. That's 586-576-0431. Good evening, Dr. Carol.
Hello, Dana. How are you?
I'm doing great. So glad it's getting a little bit warmer. So we are getting ready for warmer weather.
Yay.
So what perfect time, you know, now is the time to talk about nutrition,
mm-hmm.
getting our health in order. I can't wait to speak with our guest who is waiting in the wings.
Yes. So what we're going to do is we're going to kick off the segment by introducing the fact that National Nutrition Month is a nutrition education and information campaign created annually in March by the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics. The campaign focuses attention on the importance of making informed food choices and developing sound eating habits and physical activity habits. The theme for this year is Bite into a Healthy Lifestyle.
Okay, and we have some trivia.
Yes,
so
all right.
I'll ask you first.
Okay.
No, you probably know. You're a doctor.
No, go ahead. Talk to me.
You probably know. Okay, true or false? Research indicates that more Americans are becoming overweight or obese and getting sicker each year. We all know the answer to that.
Oh, my gosh. So true.
Mm-hmm. Why is it? Why do you think so?
You know, I believe that this trend is happening because many people are really not focusing on good eating choices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a fast-paced life, so they go after the quick fix and the fast foods or the processed foods, and sometimes, unfortunately, don't take time to prepare the meals they need to.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, carbs are comfort.
Yes.
So,
especially in the winter.
You got it. So you get a carb, you spike your insulin, spike some hormones that make you feel good, and then there's that crash, and also less activity. It's easier to sit and watch some television than to actually take a walk. And, you know, so, you know, today, hopefully, when we talk to Tracy, we'll be able to motivate our audience to eat better and get out there. So how about another one?
Well, okay, is there such a thing as meatless Monday movement? True. Is that true?
I think it is.
Okay.
I think it is.
I think I gave away the answer.
And that's okay. Choosing to take a weekly holiday from meat is something that people are recommending. And it is an easy way to enjoy more plant-strong meals.
Mm-hmm.
And the benefit of plant-strong diet, more fruits, more vegetables, helps our health and also gets us more used to the variety and actually at least commits us to one day a week to get more fruits and vegetables in there. And how about you? I've got one for you.
Okay.
All right. What fruit contains nearly 50% more of the cancer-fighting compound lycopene than the tomato?
I have no idea. Give me a hint.
Starts with a G.
Not guacamole, right?
No.
That's avocado, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's also a good healthy fat.
Oh, tell me.
Guava.
Guava. I would have never guessed that.
Yeah, can you imagine?
Have I ever had?
I don't know if I ever had either. I'm going to have to look up a guava.
What's it taste like?
I don't know. kind of like a mango, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We'll have to bring one on the show next time.
I know
time.
Tracy knows.
And then I've got another vegetable nicknamed Ladyfinger.
Okay.
Has many health benefits and is a rich source of dietary fiber, vitamin A, folate, vitamin C, and K. What do you think that would be?
What color is it?
I think yellow.
Yellow?
Green?
Green. I know this one.
Which one?
Okra.
Yeah!
I like okra.
You go, girl.
It's really good. Have
yes.
you ever had it?
I have. It's
okay.
very, very good.
Very tasty.
Very, very good. How do you make it?
I have to fry it up because I don't like the slime.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you don't make it right, it can be a little slimy and you think you don't like it. But actually, if you just, you know, fry it a little bit, you get that slime out.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
So.
And then last trivia question before we bring on Tracy is, eating breakfast regularly before class affects the brain's short-term blood sugar requirements and improves memory. That's got to be
true.
Yay, perfect. All right, now with that, we're going to introduce our guest, Tracy Fountain. She's a certified health coach trained at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition in New York. She's a Michigan native and refers to herself as a mom on a mission, bringing awareness to the link between diet and exercise. So, Tracy, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tracy.
Well, hi. Thanks for having me.
Very good. Did you know all the answers to the trivia questions?
Actually, okra, that one I did not know, I'll be honest, because I don't eat it, so I did not know that.
Very, very cool. So we're going to start our show, and then we might have to take a break and then come back to some of the questions we have for you. But how did you get into the field of nutrition?
Actually, it was kind of an accident. I've been a vegetarian since I was 15. And as I grew up, all those articles on diet and exercise were the ones that I would gravitate towards, the books I would read. And then I went to a wellness presentation that educated me on the direct link between diet and disease. And that's when I really got inspired on becoming that mom on a mission. And then I, more recently, as you said, been sort of certified as a health coach.
And what exactly is a health coach?
Well, a health coach actually offers guidance to help their clients shift their behavior to healthier habits by making step-by-step changes to their diet and lifestyle. So it's kind of the whole picture thing rather than just focusing on diet.
So is it really, does it start in the mind even with healthy eating?
Oh, yes. And usually people, that's what draws them to a health coach.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are just getting started. Wow, we're going to have you stick on the line, Tracy Fountain. She's a certified health coach. You're listening to Today's Woman with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk, sponsored by the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. We'll be right back with more with Tracy on WJR. Welcome back to Today's Woman. I'm Dana Clark, along with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk. Tonight, we're talking about the importance of making informed food choices and developing sound eating and physical eating habits. Our special guest is certified health coach Tracy Fountain. If you'd like more info about our sponsor, Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health, visit mifertility.com or call 586-576-0431. That's 586-576-0431. 0431. Let's get back into our conversation. And our next question for Tracy is, can you tell us a little about the impact of plant-based diet has had on your family?
Yes, actually it's been a dramatic change for the positive. Our youngest child was a terrible, terrible asthmatic and would miss upwards of 5 weeks of school every single year due to her asthma. And when I went to this wellness presentation that I mentioned earlier, and heard the difference or the correlation between diet and disease, I knew that this is what we had to be focusing on because we were on that hamster wheel of antibiotics and steroids and breathing treatments and daily inhalers, and we just didn't know how to get off of it. So when we switched her diet and she started not only eating Juice Plus, which is fruits and vegetables in a capsule, but she started requesting more fruits and vegetables that weren't doused in ranch dressing. She actually recognized them after a while. And she was no longer missing all that school. She's been asymptomatic from her asthma. And then my husband, who travels for for business. He's on and off airplanes all the time. He would catch whatever germ of the day they were serving up on the airline and was constantly ill or fighting a cold or whatever. And now he is no longer getting sick, and he's still on and off airplanes. So it's had a dramatic effect, to say the least.
I have a question about hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make you bigger? You know, they say it's the hormones why teens are bigger than we used to be a long time ago. Is that a fact?
That is what I have read and what I have seen. And in fact, even interestingly enough, when I was first a vegetarian at age 15, that was in 1975, so I'm totally dating myself. However, I went to the library and researched it, and even back then they were talking about the hormones that were in the foods and how it was impacting young women and their menstrual cycles.
Okay.
And Victoria, again, a close colleague and friend of mine, has known you, and you talk about processed and fast food burgers, and I hear there's something that's in your freezer that's...
Oh, it's never been in the freezer,
oh,
yes.
Okay.
When I do a wellness presentation, portion of it I call the Freaky Food Show.
Okay.
And I have it'll be 6 years old in May, six-year-old fast food children's meal, but it's never been in the refrigerator. In fact, spends most of its time in the dining room sideboard. And there is no molding, no sprouting. The fries,
no.
The bread, the cheese, the meat, everything.
Uh-huh.
So when I pull that out in front of a bunch of parents, but even children, I'll do this in classrooms too, it gets their attention, and you can see the wheels turning. How many times have they fed that to their child on the way from soccer practice to catechism? And they start thinking, And then the other part of the Freaky Food Show I have is, for instance, a 20-ounce soda pop with 17 packets of sugar taped in a line onto a clear packing tape, and that's the equivalent of how much sugar is in these sodas, or an empty yogurt container that I pull out, there's 7 packets of sugar. So you get the idea, and they can see firsthand that these are things that kids are either eating before school, at lunch, or when they get home before they have got to do homework.
I don't know about you. This is how I feel. I feel like, what can you eat? Because you think yogurt. Okay, you think that might be healthy. Tracy just says there's all this sugar in it. But I sometimes feel like you try to eat better. What can you eat? Because it seems like no matter what you pick, even a lean cuisine, then you look at the soda. It seems like everything you pick, there's something wrong with it. So you feel like you can't eat anything. That's how I feel.
So what do you recommend listeners balancing a crazy life schedule? How do you fit sound nutrition into that?
Well, there's a couple things. So one is you've got to realize it is a choice. So you can either subsidize your illness or invest in your health.
Mm-hmm.
And the easiest way to do that is, for my money anyway, is stay away from processed food. Eat the whole food.
Mm-hmm.
The salads, if you're going to eat your meats or whatever your protein is, you try and do the best you can with the hormone or antibiotic free. And if you can't, you can't. But if you can, then you want to try and do it. We're supposed to be eating 7 to 13 fruits and vegetables a day, and almost no one does. Even as a vegetarian, that's hard to do. And we really are supposed to do it every day, not just Mondays and Wednesdays. So if you shoot for that, you start crowding out the things you really shouldn't eat, or you should only eat in smaller doses or not as often.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the first thing I would say.
Okay.
Stick away or stay away from the processed foods.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about water intake. Like you just mentioned, it's hard to eat that much fruit, and then you have to drink 8 glasses of water.
I hate water.
I love it.
Sorry. Oh my God.
I love it, but I just don't drink that much of it. I hope to get 1 or 2 glasses in between all of this and all this food.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you would spend your whole day just thinking about what I got to eat, what I got to drink.
I just got to tape a straw by my mouth and then just keep it an IV pole or whatever, and you just kind of stick it in it.
Like the beer thing.
Doctor, what are you doing? Just, I'm getting my water. It's all good. It's all good.
So do we really need 8 glasses of water a day?
Yeah, you really do.
Oh.
Sorry. But I'll tell you, and maybe this will help make it a little easier as to why to do it. But if you are, if you're drinking enough water, it's flushing out the toxins in your system, which is, you really need it for optimal health. It's also really good for brain health. So even those days that maybe you're starting to get a little headache,
mm-hmm.
before you reach for the aspirin or the ibuprofen, check yourself and see, how much water have I had today? And 9 times out of 10, you're probably going to find that you need to drink a few glasses of water and see if that helps first. So it really is important for optimal health and functioning of our system.
And then you spend all day in the bathroom.
Exactly. Well, but only at first. I will tell you.
Only at first? Okay.
Yes, if you are a person with a tiny tank, your body does adjust to it, I promise you.
Okay.
Now, what about fiber? I mean, I also hear that we're supposed to have these 24 grams of fiber a day. Does that work for the 4'11" and the 6'5" person as well?
Yes, it does. And actually, the recommendation is 25 to 35 grams a day. But the unfortunate part of this is that in our country, the majority of the people get less than 10.
Oh.
So not only do we live in a dehydrated society, but we live in a constipated world.
We're doomed.
Yeah, well,
<I'm> doomed.
But if you make some of those other changes I mentioned before, if you start trying to eat fruits and vegetables a little more often, even our government has got involved with the My Plate. They say every meal should be half fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So just if you're just doing it with some intention, it really does start to morph into something a little easier.
Well, you know, and as a fertility doctor, Tracy, I really counsel my patients, and I think you were the one that came with the catchphrase, if your grandmother's grandmother didn't make it, don't eat it.
Mm-hmm.
I use that all the time, and with regard to fertility, there are so many important vitamins and minerals that men and women can gain from fruits and vegetables, and they're so high-powered with antioxidants. And many of the antioxidants that we can consume can improve male sperm function, male sperm counts, motility, morphology over time. And in women, there are some that may improve egg quality and also just the general environment of where the eggs are developing in the embryos and planting. So there's a lot of to be said about fruits and vegetables and fertility. The more different colors you get a day, I think it's going to improve your reproductive environment. Another supplement that we recommend for as fertility specialists, both for men and women, is it's gotten a lot of popularity, especially from studies in Toronto, is CoQ10. And 600 milligrams a day for men and 200 milligrams three times a day for women. Powerful antioxidant that improves the mitochondria of the egg and sperm and improves egg, potentially over time, egg quality and also sperm function. So, I'm just really excited you've been here with us, Tracy.
And any final words? Give us a few things that we normally may not choose to eat, but just something that we can try new this week.
Oh, boy. Now you're really putting me on.
Sorry.
That. Well, how about this? Okay, in the world of grains, whole grains, try quinoa.
Okay, that's good. That's
a good one. And it takes on the taste or the flavor of whatever you put with it.
Okay.
So try that.
All right. Okay. So the homework for all of you
homework
is quinoa. And then Dana also said
water.
Try guava.
Guava.
Quinoa, guava, water.
Okra.
Okra.
Branch out.
We're all good.
You're listening to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm Dana Clark. We'll be right back on WJR. Welcome back to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm your co-host, Dana Clark. Tonight, we're talking about March being Women's History Month, a time to celebrate the contributions women have made to events in history, nature, and contemporary society. Visit MIFertility.com to learn more about our sponsor, Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. So let's tell everybody what Women's History Month is about.
Sure. Women's History Month traces its beginning back to the first International Women's Day back in 1911, Dana.
That's a long time ago.
So it's forever ago, and almost 70 years later, President Jimmy Carter issued a presidential proclamation to honor women. He even wrote, from the first settlers who came to our shores, from the first American Indian families who befriended them, men and women have worked together to build this nation. Too often women were unsung, and sometimes their contributions went unnoticed. But the achievements, leadership, courage, strength, and love of the women who built America was as vital as that of the men whose names we know so well. And the 2015 theme is called Weaving the Stories of Women's Lives. So, Dana, what we did at the office is we Googled Michigan women in history, and so we have found a few, and I'd like to share tonight some of these important women. So the earliest we went back and found was in 1702.
Okay.
Therese Guyon Cadillac and Anne Picote Delvestre de Tante.
Good job.
I hope I said that right. Joined their husbands.
They're not here.
That's right. I'm sorry if I have been. So joined their husbands at Fort Pontchartrain in Detroit, becoming the first two European women settlers in Michigan.
There are so many great women. We're just going to highlight a few of them tonight. In 1832, Laura Smith Holland and Elizabeth Margaret Chandler found the first women's anti-slavery society in Michigan, leading to the first Michigan Underground Railroad station to Canada.
Wow.
I can't imagine, like, being alive back then and just having to try to, you know, hide just to get to freedom.
So, and the courage.
Yeah, a lot of courage, just because if you were caught, then that was
done.
It.
You were done.
Yeah,
and the courage these women had to get these people to where they needed to be. God bless. In 1870, Madeline Louisa Stockwell of Albion was the first woman admitted to the University of Michigan, which is also the first state university to admit women.
U of M.
Yay! Hail to the... Yay! Go blue! Go blue! Go blue! Go blue! But how cool is that?
Yeah, that you can always say I was the first woman.
That's right.
Who got into college?
Go, Madeline!
Like back up. I'm the bomb. Okay. In 1880, Anna Howard Shaw of Big Rapids was the first woman in the nation to become a fully ordained minister in the Methodist Church. Still a little controversy about women preaching today. So a long time ago, that was really probably a really, really big thing for her to
can
be that
imagine?
First woman.
And to have the courage to stand up and to believe in your faith and believe in your congregation and to go to that level to say, I'm ready to do this. In 1900, Alice Cheney of Detroit is the first woman to be licensed as a ship's captain on the Great Lakes.
Oh, no. I can't imagine.
don't pirates think
don't
women
trouble.
Are lucky on ships?
Are they?
I think that's like the little weird vibe or something.
Boy.
I don't know. But
I can't get around the corner.
Can you imagine? Oh,
like,
my God. To be captain of this ship in the Great Lakes and here you're in charge of this whole ship.
They needed her on the Titanic, apparently.
Well, you know, we're better with directions anyway, aren't we?
Okay, yes, we are. And a famous woman we all know. In 1955, Rosa Parks, a 42-year-old African-American woman who worked as a seamstress, boarded this Montgomery City bus to go home from work. On the bus that day, she just initiated a new era in the American quest for freedom and equality. And my mom got to meet her and do an in-depth story on going back to Montgomery. So it was really, that's like the highlight of, you know, that's what, when people ask her, what, you know, what sticks out the most? What do you remember? Who do you remember meeting the most? Mm-hmm. And she always says Rosa Parks.
What was she like?
Very quiet, a petite woman. You know, she was very quiet. And that was a change for people that we saw usually, you know, protesting and rioting. Mm-hmm. She did it in a different way, in a quiet way, but it was just as effective.
What a classy woman.
Yeah.
And the respect that we all have for her.
We all have it, yes.
And you know, she proved you could do things in a way and change the course of history by not going nuts or crazy. Or, you know, she stood to her beliefs, was strong in her beliefs, and quietly yet respectfully said, no, you know what? You know, and we will never, ever forget her for that. So, thank you, Rosa. And then, you know, musically, one of the things on the cultural front, Catherine Comet was the first woman in the country to be the official conductor of a professional orchestra. And that was the Grand Rapids Symphony Orchestra in 1986. So in the field of music, we've got leaders from Michigan, which I think is fabulous. And a woman dear to my heart, who I had the privilege of meeting and am very, very impressed with, is homegrown Dr. Alexa Kennedy.
Okay.
And this woman, young woman, was born in Lansing in 1950. She got a B.S. in zoology at U of M in 1971 and graduated medical school in 1975. And the significance for Dr. Kennedy is she was the first African-American woman in the United States to become a neurosurgeon.
Wow.
And she is here in Michigan. So she accomplished that in 1981. Mm-hmm. She was the chief of neurosurgery at Children's 1987, retired in 2001. She specialized in congenital spinal abnormalities, hydrocephalus, which is the water on the brain that you referred to, trauma, and brain tumors. Mm-hmm. And she was inducted into the Michigan Women's Hall of Fame in 1989. So, and this woman, Dana, if you would have met her, she was robust in many ways. But these children would come to her, and the miracles she would perform would be amazing. And she'd save so many lives and made such a big difference to so many children. And isn't that awesome?
You know, women are just the best. Without us, I don't know. I'm sorry. No, without us, I don't know where.
Well, I always have my joke about how God made man, but I'll save it for off the air. But you know what? This is just a thumbnail of all of the amazing women that have made a difference in our history, in Michigan history, and also in national history. And it's just, I'm very proud to be a woman at this point, and hopefully I have made a difference.
I was going to say, just like yourself, I'm sure you'll be on that list very soon, a few years from now, for all the patients that you have helped. You know, and it work you do is very important as well, because you've been able to help bring life into the world, and that's just important as everybody else we read on the list. So, and I know your patients. If we start to read some of the emails that they sent in, you feel that as well.
Well, so, I appreciate it so much. Thank you.
I'm just speaking for all the women that you have helped, and
well, thank you.
Continue to help, and your husband who helps also bring life into the world. You guys are just
amazing. Thank you. So are you. Who when you look in your world, in your personal life, who do you think makes the list for, you know, women, a woman who...
It's really corny, but I would have to say my mom. You know, it's always who's closest to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can always look to other people who you don't know and, you know, marvel at what they do. But when you are close to someone and they're there with you and you see how hard they work and how they try to instill things in you, I think mom, you know, being a mom is one of the most important jobs, because we do shape other people that are going out into the world to do these things. Mm-hmm. So I would have to say my mother. How about you?
Same person, and I'd like, you know, just to highlight that the moms in our lives are extremely important, and we'll talk more about that maybe in our next segment.
In our next segment, okay, our favorite segment.
You got
a day
it.
In the life, right? That's coming
exactly.
up next. You're listening to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm Dana Clark. We'll be right back on WJR. Welcome back to Today's Woman Radio Show with Dr. Carol Kowalczyk of the Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. I'm Dana Clark. It's now time for A Day in the Life of. We need a sounder there.
I know. Duh.
Right.
Something like
something,
that.
Something. We already talked about women who've impacted history. We're going to talk about Easter, spring, National Fertility Awareness Week, and Dr. Gary Chapman, author of The Five Love Languages, coming to the Detroit area. We'll give you details on that in just a few moments. Show is sponsored by Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health. To learn more, visit mifertility.com. Again, if you'd like more info on Michigan Center for Fertility and Women's Health, go to mifertility.com or call them directly at 586-576-0431. That's 586-576-0431. And let's continue talking about women and how awesome we are.
Yes, we rock, we rock. Right?
Yes.
So, you know, the last segment didn't have, we were kind of finishing up in the last segment, but, you know, my role model is my mom, and I just think she is the strongest woman I have ever met in my life. And she has been really influential in keeping things together. You know, my dad worked three jobs, and my mom was the one that, you know, saved the pennies, and I never felt like I was, you know, missing anything. Mm-hmm. She managed that home unbelievably, and she enforced in my sister and I to believe in ourselves, and she was the rock. And the things she has gone through in her life, mm-hmm. she has done with style and class and integrity, and she gives so much to the world, and she believes so much in her faith. And I just, you know, get a lot. She's the strongest woman I know, mm-hmm. and I take a lot of, you know, guidance from her. And that's the one thing is that, you know, yes, maybe you're not the first conductor or mm-hmm. you're not a neurosurgeon, but I want women tonight to know how important they are, because we women really impact the whole sense and the whole energy in the family.
Mm-hmm.
And your kids are looking to you, and those little things like making the meals, or I remember my mother would walk us to school in the dead of winter, and she'd mm-hmm. be like the mother duck
up
and the little duck.
Right,
yeah, you know, and she'd you know, get away from the wind, you know, we'd be behind her. But, you know, the one job that's the most important comes with no education, mm-hmm. no training, no instruction.
And it's, you're always working.
You know, you wish God would, you know, when you deliver the baby, maybe there'd be a little book that says how to do this. And we wing it. We, you know, and we wing it well. And if there's a day you're not the best mom,
mm-hmm.
okay.
You're
or you're the mother figure, you do, maybe, you know, mm-hmm. or you're the aunt or the whatever. You know what? You wake up and you brush off and you do it another time. Because in the children's minds, mm-hmm. you know, you are there to help develop them.
That,
so kudos to you guys out there.
Hats off to all the moms. I also think about growing up in New York, my grandmother, just everything you just described was especially her, too. She had two jobs. She had to take, like, two trains to get to work. She was on the split shift, and she just did it all. And she saved up enough money to buy a home
wow.
in Queens, New York,
aww.
Like, outright. And so she was really an inspiration to me as well. But the thing that I thought about when you said other, even if you're not a mom, we all make a difference. Like,
mm-hmm.
we all have to help each other. Like
yes.
they say, it takes a village. Well, I know when I was a kid, even if your mom wasn't around, something wrong.
Oh, yeah.
And so you're like, everybody had authority to
right.
collar
to
you
put
up,
you in
to
your
put
place.
You in your place. And it helped because you knew mm-hmm. you couldn't sneak around the corner and do
right.
what you wanted to do because Miss Lamb would see you and you'd be in trouble by the time you got, you
yeah.
know, back home. So I wish we could do a little more of that these days. It's
yes.
more...
Right.
You know, hands off,
and
that's
what,
not my kid, and
right,
stuff
right.
like
you
that.
You know what else we're gifted with? The look.
Oh, yeah. Kids
no
don't know
man,
what it is today, though.
Oh, my God. No man can ever give the
no,
look.
No.
But, you know, you as a mom, you remember that. You remember that look. All she had to do
yep.
was the
especially
look.
In church. But
and
kids today, they don't know what that is.
No. Oh, my kids
what?
Do.
What? Oh,
my
they do?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My kids know
my
the look.
Kids, my kid is texting. I'm like, look at me. Look up. I'm looking at you, like trying to give you the look. You don't even know what the look is.
Anyway. That's too much technology. I love.
So we're talking about women. When
yes.
when do you think we'll have the first woman president?
Mm. I don't know.
It's about time.
It's about time. It is definitely about
it's
time.
It's going to happen
because we've got so many
qualified.
Great qualities and inherent in women that mm-hmm. I think that would definitely make a difference.
Yes.
Very, very
we
cool.
We are ready for that.
Ready,
so,
ready.
Spring, yay!
Finally, hello.
Oh, my gosh. I feel so happy about it. So what are you going to do this spring? What's on the bucket list?
On my bucket list is two things, is to enjoy more outside.
Mm-hmm.
I went and got this really cool, what's called a swing-a-son at Pier 1.
Oh, nice.
It almost looks like a birdcage on a stand,
okay.
kind of half open, but
okay.
I have visions of myself reading and enjoying the
healthy glass of wine.
You got it. And the other thing is my daughter, Jackie,
okay.
is in track, so I am going to start a running program with her so
mm-hmm.
that she is ready to rock and roll and succeed in track. And then my other daughter is Elise is in lacrosse at Grosse Pointe South.
Okay.
So I plan on being out there and really you know, rooting for that team. How about you?
Same thing. I just like want to be outside. I think I might go crazy once it hits like 75 or 80 degrees. But I too have kind of started running. Well,
ooh,
Aunt Thomas
cool.
told me about this program because I hate running. I just hate it. I know it's good for you in some ways, but I don't want to get injured or hurt.
Right.
You know, I don't want to go too far.
Right.
Can't go too far. So she told me about this app called Couch to 5K.
It's awesome.
And I've been doing it for 3 weeks.
Good for
and
you.
And I'm like, I'm so proud that I can run like 3 minutes without passing
Good
out.
Good girl.
So very I'm going to cool. finish the program. So Ann and I thought about maybe this spring finding an easy 5K to do.
How
so I'm in training.
Fun.
I got the Rocky music. Dun, 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 dun. No.
Oh, how fun. You know, that app really, really is a good, valuable app, and it really, really works. Well, good for you.
Yes.
Well, maybe in the fall we'll do something together.
Yeah,
that
we should do
fun.
That, and we can, you know, record it.
That would be fun. We can, as we're running. We
so,
can.
And then I'm trying to eat healthier, trying to, as Tracy mentioned, try to make better food choices, and it's working. I've lost a couple of pounds.
You look fabulous.
Between that and the running.
Very cool. Very cool.
So those are a couple things that I'm going to try to do this spring. And as you said, just enjoy the sunshine, get some vitamin D and all that stuff. So and then Easter is coming up, or Passover, or what, you know, whatever you celebrate.
Mm-hmm.
I call it Resurrection Sunday.
Yeah.
So, you know, we all have different faiths and beliefs. So that's coming up. So what are some of your traditions? What do you do?
Well, again, being Polish, we have several traditions. One of our favorite is a tradition called Świętsunka. So
okay.
What that means is the Saturday, a Holy Saturday, we go to service, and we have a basket with egg, ham, sausage, bread, butter, salt, pepper, whatever else, and we have it blessed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next Easter morning, we all bring our Świętsunka baskets, and we cut little samples.
Okay.
And then we pass it around and wish everyone good luck for the year.
Can
How about
you adopt
you?
Me?
Sure. Absolutely.
Your tradition sounds so
absolutely.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
I can't say them, but I can participate. Well, as I mentioned, we call it Resurrection Sunday because we really just focus on not the dying of Christ, but the raising of Christ, and how everything in, you know, starting Sunday after, you know, Good Friday, kind of just lay low and keep in remembrance. I usually try to read with the kids on Friday what happened. What has been great, I've been appreciative of, is the programming that's been on too, as
yes.
far as the Bible. And,
yes.
And so they are more, they'll watch that and be more into it and get more out of reading because we have read. So we'll usually watch, I think another series is coming on called AD, produced by Mark Burnett, which the Bible was an awesome series. So we'll probably do that. And then on Sunday, we, you know, just celebrate Christ being alive again and make lots of macaroni and cheese and yams.
Enjoy
and good
it.
Stuff that you're not supposed to eat. Don't tell Tracy.
I love it. I love it.
So next month
is National Infertility Awareness Week. So we'll focus on fertility with the next show.
Okay.
And don't forget about Dr. Gary Chapman, author of Five Love Languages, coming to Detroit April 18th at Grosse Pointe Memorial Church.
Don't want to miss that.
No. So
I love his book.
Yes.
Okay, well,
very good.
Enjoy the weather.
You too.
And with that.
You go, girl.
What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.